This meeting is now being recorded.
Hello and welcome to the jurisdiction subgroup meeting number 12 on 5th of December 2016 at 1900 UTC. I'm your co-rapporteur, Greg Shatton. I've just had possible regrets from our co-rapporteur, Vinay Kasari, who is caught on a business call that has taken on a life of its own. He'll join us as soon as possible, if possible. So given that we, as David McCauley notes, we are competing with IGF, and while I think this subject should win any such competition, I can understand that being in the midst of something like IGF tends to make the things you're down on the ground for win. But in any case, we should get going. First, I will ask if anybody has any changes to statements of interest, changes to their employment or to their conflicts or any other thing. I take it that there are none, in which case we should probably jump right into item two on our agenda, and if I could ask a staff to put up the, I think it's the third draft of the experience question. Thank you. If you could blow those up a bit, since the bottom half of the page is blank, that would probably help some people. Or if you have your own control, you can go do that. And Zoom, yeah, which I am doing. So these questions have been on the list now, were discussed at the last two meetings, have continued to evolve somewhat. So I'd like to see if there are any comments, suggestions, changes, criticisms, to these questions. They can't be that perfect. David McCauley.
Great. Thanks, David McCauley, for the transcript. I think the debate on this has been on a pretty good one on the list. And I think that my feelings are probably fairly well known. I just really wanted to raise my hand to thank you for doing your best to navigate differing opinions and trying to come to a conclusion. I'm not a fan of these questions, but if they have to go, I think the questions are getting in pretty decent shape. Thank you.
Thanks, David. You know, these are the questions that are, you know, supposed to ask for facts or experience solicitations. This was the first set of questions. So hopefully, these are, I guess, the question is whether there is any objection, whether there are any objections on this call to sending these, to basically saying that these questions are now stable and can go into the process, which we'll need to discuss, of sending out questions. So if there are any objections, it would be good to hear them now, or any further changes that could overcome objection, or even just changes that can make them better. David, once again.
Thank you, Greg. David again. A point of clarification based on what you just said, it relates to process, and so I assume what you're saying is these questions won't go out until we decide what the process is, including not only sending them out, but also considering responses. Is that a fair statement?
Yes. Yes, there definitely needs to be a pathway to getting these questions out, and that is, you know, on our agenda as number four, and we'll get there. So at this point, we're just talking about the wording of the questions themselves and whether or not there's sufficient support to send them out or, you know, sufficient objections to not send them out. So why don't we, if there's nothing further anyone wants to say on these questions, why don't we take down this question and put up the what I've been calling the additional question. At one point it was the third question, but then the third question was added to the first two. So technically this would be the fourth question if we decided to send it out. So this question also has, you know, undergone a fair amount of editing. It was discussed really only at the last call, but also quite a bit on the list. I have tried to edit the question to take into account the various comments that were made about the question. That doesn't necessarily mean that there's broad support for every edit. It also doesn't mean that there's broad support for sending this question out. Nonetheless, since there was enough interest in the question, wanted to, as well as, you know, considerable amount of objections to the question, it makes sense, I think, to try to develop the question and see whether there is a version of the question that is suitable for sending out or whether the objections to sending it out continue. Now, basically, I think we need to have rough consensus on any question before it moves out of this group. Again, we'll talk about process beyond this group. I would say that we have rough consensus on the first questions that were on in the previous slide, if you will. I would say we don't have rough consensus on sending out this question, nor do we have necessarily a stable draft of this question. I think it still could be considered in flux. So I'll stop talking and see if there are those who would like to comment. First, let's not comment on whether or not to send out the question yet. Let's try to talk about the question itself and any changes or reservations you have about the question as a question. I realize it's a little hard to divorce the two topics, but let's try to work on the drafting aspect of this first. So I'll look for any hands. I've got David followed by Pedro.
Great. Thank you. It's David again. This question, particularly, you know, from the beginning where it says what are the advantages or disadvantages, if any, et cetera, doesn't really ask for or the point of view. In other words, what are the advantages or disadvantages to you, the responder, or to ICANN, or to global peace, or whatever it might be? It doesn't ask for a point of view, so it would, I think, invite people to pick a point of view, and that may complicate our ability to weigh the responses. But I just picked up on that, so I haven't, and I'm reading through it now. But anyway, I believe that's the case, and that would be my comment. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Originally, the question began, what do you think are the problems? It actually didn't ask anything about advantages, but only problems. So saw that as kind of a, you know, biased question. So then someone else commented that what do you think was you know, call for speculation, and instead people should ask what are. So that's why it reads the way it reads. That doesn't mean that this is a better formulation than what do you think. It doesn't mean that either formulation is necessarily a good formulation. But that's kind of how we ended up where we are. And I think to your overall point, I think this question does seem to ask, you know, primarily for point of view. Among other, you know, issues we can discuss with whether this is a good question or whether this is a good version of this question and how to deal with it. Pedro.
Yes, thank you, Greg. Very briefly, I generally, in questionnaires, I favor more straightforward questions and more open ones that allows the reader or the respondent to actually weigh in as much information as possible. But on the other hand, I also understand that there has been lots of issues regarding related to this question, many different points of views, and I think those paragraphs actually that you put in here try to accommodate the different point of views that have been expressed. So general terms, I would say that I would be in a condition to agree with the text that you have proposed here and to agree with the inclusion of this question. Actually, I favor actually the submission of those questions, the three initial ones in this, only considering that this fourth is also present in the questionnaire. I wouldn't favor a questionnaire that would have only the first three questions that you have shown. So just wanted to state my support for including this question and also the formulation that you have suggested here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pedro. So does anybody else have comments about this question? In terms of its drafting or its intent before we get, you know, further into the question of support. And I note that with 20 or 21 people on this call, compared to the number of people we actually have in the group or typically have on our call, we will probably want to put these both out on the list and get a sense of the room. But I would encourage those who are ruminating quietly to chime in with their views on the question itself. So I'll invite others to go to the table. If there are no other comments on the question itself, why don't we pivot to directly discussing whether to include this question in the questionnaire along with the other question. As I've noted on the list, the fact that we've continued to work on the question does not mean there's necessarily broad support for it. There has been, I would say, more objection than support based on my count. Of course, the question has evolved. It might be that that means it will get support from those who objected to it. It also might mean that there are objections from those who supported the original question because the question now no longer fits their desire. So if I could ask first for any comments on whether or not this question should go out at all. David McCauley.
Greg, thank you. And I'll qualify my this is David McCauley for the transcript. I'll qualify my comment by saying it's pretty much consistent with what I've said on the list. And I'm also, I don't believe that anyone's position should gain any strength by repetition, but just in order to help us along, I think I'll just restate it. I'm not a fan of this question. I think any question should be in the strict context of with respect to dispute resolution issues. And I also am concerned that the questions aren't scientific. You know, we don't know the body of people that it'll get to. I realize the intent is to get it out to the global community. I just suspect that that's a very high lift. And so anyway, I'm among those who am not supportive of this question. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Pedro notes in the chat he's already expressed his viewpoint as we wrapped up the prior discussion. Any other comments, pro or con, with regard to sending this question out? Thought we would have a more talkative bunch given the amount of volume on the list with regard to this. Maybe this means we've achieved apathy. I'm not sure whether apathy is enough to support sending out the question. Phil Corwin.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. Phil Corwin for the record. I tend to share David's misgivings about this question, just because it seems so open-ended and it's not targeted the way some of the other questions are, you know, talking about actual problems, you know, but this is about advantages or disadvantages relating to the current jurisdiction, and I think it needs to be tightened we're talking about the corporate jurisdiction, the place of incorporation. I believe that's what it's getting at. Although if it's broader than that, that's even more problematic because there's other jurisdictional aspects. But then, you know, it's so broad, advantages, disadvantages, and then for each one identified, identify alternatives, including alternative jurisdictions, where the problem wouldn't occur. I mean, it seems like we're starting to go down a path to explore parsing up different aspects of ICANN jurisdiction and thinking about where they should be relocated possibly. I just think it's opening a Pandora's box without a clear need to. So I'll stop there. I know there's different views on this, but I prefer to see people asked to actually identify a real problem that arises from the current U.S. incorporation, because other jurisdictional issues contractual issues can be dealt with by choice of law provisions. They're not of the same consequence as corporate, the state of incorporation. So I'll stop there, but I'm not going to fall on my sword to stop this question from going out, but I'm not sure what the purpose is, and I think we're going to get back, if we get back answers, it's going to open up a can of worms. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Anybody else? I would respond, Phil, to your point about scope with that's a footnote. Now is the same footnote as with the other question, and that as a result, it is broader than just ICANN's corporate, you know, jurisdiction of incorporation. So I think the question when it was originally formulated actually was more focused on trying to elicit problems with ICANN's U.S. jurisdiction, but the feeling was that was too directed, if you will. And in terms of falling on your sword, as I've said, I don't think there's a decision to send out this question, so nobody, pro or con, needs to be falling on any swords. We need to figure out whether there is broad support for sending out the question, and if there isn't, then we're not going to. So that's kind of what I think is the posture. And I will say that counting noses on the list, again, before the question developed fully, I would say it was about 2-1 against sending out the question, just based on the people that weighed in on the list. But again, the numbers were not incredibly high. Cheryl.
Thank you, Greg. Cheryl for the record. And you can count me amongst the not particularly in favor of sending this one out. But I thought I'd put it on the record. Look, fluffy questions get fluffy answers, and fluffy data comes from those fluffy answers, and you all know what we do with fluffy answers and data. you go, yeah, right, fine, noted. So even if it did go out, its effects would be, could I suggest, minimal on our outcomes. So if anyone is overwhelmingly desperate to have it go out, notice the sigh in my voice, it is deliberate, then so be it. But what one would do with the cod's wallop that may come back is another question. The analysis will be entertaining, I guess, Greg. But definitely count me in the don't bother sending it list.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you for bringing the word cod swallow into the mix of our call today. Anybody else wish to speak? What I'd like to do now is to take the temperature of the room on this. So if you would like this question to be sent out, please give a green check, please. If you would prefer that the question not be sent out, please add a red X. I would hope we could cut down on the number of abstentions, but that doesn't seem likely. Pedro, your hand is up. Let's finish. Can you wait until we finish the temperature? I can't see if you have a vote under your hand. So what I see here are four opposed and one in favor, although I think I actually saw two in favor, yes. So that's somewhat consistent with the numbers I was seeing on the email list. But I think with regard to decisions by this group, especially given the relatively small numbers today, I think we should put this out on the list as well. Pedro, I'll come back to you now that we've, if everyone can uncheck or uncross, we can record that, the numbers and move on. And Pedro, I'll come back to you.
Yes, thank you, Greg. No, just wanted to precisely mention that there are many people, active participants of this group, which I think because of the IGF in Mexico are not able to be in this call, and I think they will definitely be willing to show their viewpoints on this topic, on this question, or this decision, better said. So I would suggest submitting this to the list for a decision. Thank you.
Absolutely. I will do that with all of the questions, but figure out a way to ask separately for people's responses, and also take in some way to take into account the comments such as the one you made, which is that you would support a questionnaire with all of the questions, but not one that excluded the question in front of us. Maybe I'll talk to Bernie and see if they have some, what people think is the best tool, other than just merely having a free-form thread for this. So it may be something like a Google form or a SurveyMonkey or something like that that will help us to record answers a little bit more separately from just general discussion, where things often tend to get drowned on the list. So I think that really takes us now to item four on our agenda, which is the mechanics and details of the questionnaire process. Eric, if you could uncheck yourself, that would be as good as we're moving on. Now, it's been raised by Caboose on the list that these questions need to go through the CCWG. And we do have one of our co-chairs, Mathieu, on the call. In reviewing the recent history of WorkStream 2, at least, I think the only other group that has decided to send out questions was the SOAC accountability subgroup. And as I noted on the email list last night, that did get a first and second reading of those questions, with the second reading taking place at the Hyderabad face-to-face. So I assume we would follow that same procedure and not merely send these out from this subgroup. So, Mathieu, if I could ask you for your thoughts, if I'm kind of along the right track or if that's a choice for this group to make, or what your thoughts are on this, if you have a microphone.
Thanks, Greg. This is Mathieu speaking, and I join those who earlier in this call congratulated you on your efforts at making sure everyone's voice is heard in this group. I think the process you're outlining is definitely on the right track. The precedent we've set with the SOAC accountability group is certainly the way forward. So the questions should definitely be shared in the plenary and be reviewed in the plenary before going out to a target group, which remains to be fully defined, but it's indeed the good way forward.
Thank you, Mathieu. Presumably that's not a controversial topic at this point. That's actually 4B. 4A was introduction to questions. The other thing I noted about the questions that were sent out by the SOAC accountability group was that they provided a preface or an introduction, a setup, so that you're just not sending these questions out cold to people. And the SOAC questions were only going out to SOACs, so by definition it was already an insider group to some extent, or at least we'll call it a reasonably well-informed group, and yet the need was seen to have an introduction. I think that's at least as important here in that context, both because of the complexity of the topic and also the possibility, which we'll get to, of sending this out beyond merely going to direct mailing them to SOAC. So I'd like to see if there are any thoughts that other people have about that, pro or con. And I will also, put this out on the list. I think we need maybe a small drafting team to draft an introduction, which could be based in part on some of the documentation you already have in hand, but should allow someone to start answering the questions, with this, reasonable amount of setup and information. So any thoughts on this? I see support. I don't see any objections. Of course, we also have to see volunteers to draft the preface. I am getting stretched out a bit at being in the drafting department. So I think that at least we have, I'd say, general agreement, no objection to having an introduction. And David McCauley has picked up the sword or the laboring oar and agreed to help draft. So then the question, next question is C, which is how to send it out and who to send it to. I think those are really kind of hard to separate. There has been some support for sending it out within the ICANN Global multi-stakeholder community, and also some support for sending these questions out in some broader fashion, or at least making them available in a broader fashion. I mean, typically, the ICANN public comment period is made available to anyone, and notices are sent out in a way, but there's not, a campaign to put it into everyone's email box to spam the world or anything like that. So any thoughts both on how to send it out and who to send it to? I'm particularly interested in whether people think we should send it just, within the ICANN SOAC community, or find some way to at least make it available to a broader community, for instance, by posting it on an ICANN page somewhere, assuming that ICANN is willing to do that, but I expect they would be. Pedro? Pedro, I think your phone is on mute. I see a red circle with a flash.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, I would support the second option that you've just mentioned. So I think this is a subject that is dear to actually many different actors in the multi-stakeholder community. And therefore, I think this should not be restricted. I think putting out this questionnaire, hopefully with the four questions to the wider international community through this usual ICANN public consultation method, I think it's the best way to achieve our objective here. Thank you.
Thanks, Pedro. Anyone else agree with Pedro, disagree, have different ideas, want to do it some other way, put it on hot air balloons and blimps around the world? David?
Thanks, Greg. I should have put my hand down when you mentioned hot air balloons, because that sounds pretty good. But here's my question. I think Pedro makes a good point. On the other hand, it depends on the time frame for responses. If we're going to have a fairly quick turnaround time, the people that normally reply to ICANN posted calls for comments expect a fairly large, or they expect a certain amount of time, 42 days or whatever it might be. And so I guess the only qualification I would say is, what is the time frame we're talking about for asking people to reply? And that may have a bearing on how we send it out. Thank you.
Thanks, David. I would note, again, as kind of a comparison, that the SOAC accountability question was sent out with a 30-day window, and I believe that at least one responding SO or AC is asking for an extension. Bernie says now 45 days. So 45 days would certainly be ample to allow for both dissemination of the question and some fairly considered responses, certainly as long as any comment period can be expected to be, although there have been some that have been longer, but certainly for a few questions where we hope to get these in a timely fashion, 45 days would be ample. Bernie, I see your hand is up.
Thank you, Greg. Just a comment. We've finished prepping the documents for the IRP IoT public consultation, which is currently going on. And that 45 days is the response time. But there is certainly some non-negligible prep time and requirements for a formal ICANN public consultation on documents that need to support this and texts that need to explain it. So just a word of caution that I'm not sure this could actually get done before people start detaching for the end of year break. And that would be my one of my concerns. And so if we only get this done in early January, the responses come in 45 days after that, and then we have to have a look at how to classify that. So I'm just trying to set the scene for timing so there's no unrealistic expectations. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. Those are good points. First, I would say that I would not necessarily view this as being sent with the full force of the public consultation, because that's typically reserved for preliminary and final reports of working groups and other kind of more terminal or deliverable types of things. So I don't know if there is a somewhat more lightweight way to make the question available appropriately. I think there will still be non-negligible prep time for any question we put out, but I wouldn't necessarily want this to be confused with a public consultation of the kind of the typical sort. I don't think that's what this is, and I think it would, to some extent, create kind of the wrong expectation around what it is if we treated it like a public consultation. So, that said, I don't know how many different utensils we have in the drawer, but we can give some thought to how we would disseminate something like this without putting it in the full ICANN public comment process. I would also say with regard to timing that if we are, as we've discussed, going to have a requisite two readings at the plenary, that the next meeting of the plenary is December 14th. We should certainly have these questions ready for that plenary based on where we stand. And there is no scheduled meeting after that because we run into 2 weeks after that, which would be, I think, our typical meeting time is the dreaded Christmas to New Year's week. Which essentially doesn't exist for work purposes like this, which would put the following meeting either into the January 2nd week, possibly on January 4th, or even on the January 9th week. So I don't know if our esteemed co-chair or staff have an idea when the next meeting after next week will take place for the plenary, because that would be the minimum time when we could say that we even would start that non-negligible period, or hopefully there'd be some parallel work going on. But nonetheless, we wouldn't have questions ready until after that meeting, that second meeting. So I'll take the silence to mean that I have not yet planned this next meeting after the upcoming CCWG plenary, but assume it will be in the first or second week of January. So the last point here is kind of how to collect responses, which I think to some extent goes to the how to send it out point. This may be something that where a questionnaire or form type of response is worth considering, which has been done a few times in public comments and other questionnaires. Or it may be that this is the kind of thing where you're just going to have people submit, you know, free-form written PDF documents responding to the question. We clearly have ample time to consider those mechanics and whether we're better off having people fill in boxes with their answers or just submit PDFs. To some extent, you know, that goes to the issue of how we will analyze and build a tool to be able to review these in the group when it's done. So, David says, if we go free-form PDF, we need a word limit. I think it is possible if one were so inclined to write a paper, especially on the final question, could, in, you know, if handled in a certain way, envelop every jurisdictional question ever possibly asked about ICANN as well as, you know, various forms of legal analysis that could go on for days. So one would hope we would have some encouragement at least for being relatively limited. I see that Matthew says that January 11th is the first plenary in 2017. So that also informs our time frame. So I think we've probably pushed this as far as we can go on this call. I think we have some tendencies with how to deal with this. And we can kind of put together a proposal. So that can be considered on the list, a default based on two readings at the CCWG and sending this out with an introduction and putting it out in a way that, you know, gets potentially broad results, or at least can be broadly seen, akin to the way public consultations are seen, and can kind of figure out from there where to go. We'll also, of course, be asking for someone to work, or people to work with David on an introductory document, although there is some appeal to the lonely scrivener turning out a first draft by himself, but the fewer people that work on a document, the more comments it will need from others to make sure that it is well-rounded. Any other comments on the whole question process or on the questions before we move to the next topic on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next topic on the agenda, which is the document which we decided some time ago was definitely within scope and kind of was, you know, part of the core of our work, which is the Google Doc asking for this group to work on answering the question here. What is the influence of ICANN's existing jurisdictions relating to resolution disputes, i.e. choice of law and venue? Well, I think we should probably change that to governing law, because not all disputes involve the parties making a choice of law. On the actual operation of ICANN's policies and accountability mechanism. And I have to say that while we had a reasonable amount of momentum working on this document going into Hyderabad, we have not recovered that momentum. We have instead taken what energy we did have and directed it toward the questionnaire issue. but this really is important work, and we've only had contribution of a few people. And I really, I don't think that we, on this particular call we can, you know, go into the this and draft, especially since we have, you know, all of about 10 minutes left. And there are a lot of kind of unresolved comments and, you know, first draft points made in here. We are going to have to come back to this document and give it a close reading, and I would prefer to do that after there has been more interventions in the document. You know, if there are people who are questioning whether this is what we need to work on, I'd be interested in hearing that. Failing that, and I do think, you know, this was, you know, undeniably one of our core assignments, maybe the core assignment. You know, we need to work on it, and I will remind you all, at the risk of sounding a little pedantic or didactic, or even churlish, that the concept of these working groups was that people would devote themselves in these subgroups to the work of the group. And I know that many people, including myself, have joined several groups and have spread themselves thin, and others are kind of being participant observers, because being an observer, you can't actually join at all. But without, you know, lecturing people or assigning people to anything, I really would like to have some thoughts, or, you know, more work put into this document. And Mathieu, if I could once again put you on the spot, be interested to have your observations on this point as well.
Thanks, Greg. I can only echo what you said about the construction of the subgroups and the clear requirement we've made to make sure the rapporteurs are rapporteurs and all group members actually contribute to the work. I think actually the document on this, which is currently displayed, is already quite an interesting piece of work, very promising, with loads to actually do to make it as valuable as it can be. And so I encourage everyone to contribute, comment, expand the document if need be. But I think there's a need for it to become a joint product of everyone's inputs, and that will certainly advance the work of the group.
Thank you, Mathieu. David McCauley.
Thank you, Greg. David McCauley again. As an original skeptic of the Google Doc format, I would just encourage my fellow participants that once you go in and start, it gets a little easier. It can be done. It is a bit forbidding to take a look at, especially the larger the number of comments, but once you get into the rhythm of it, it's not that bad. Thank you.
Thanks, David. And I recall there were some requests, which I think we have not fulfilled, for a primer on how to use Google Docs for those who do feel a little bit challenged by it as a format. In many ways, it's not a lot different than working in Microsoft Word, but it does have its quirks. And I will look for something along those lines so that people can feel like they're not going to go in and kind of blow up the document or be unable to do what they want to do. And I think another point, David, that's well taken is that when the comments build up as they have in portions of this, all of the byplay on the side, especially on kind of in pages that are unnumbered, but it's the second page, is quite weighty As rapporteur, you know, I will need to try to resolve these comments, or maybe I think I am one of the commenters here and trying to, I think, I believe it was Pedro, but whoever commented on it, on the other hand, maybe we can work together to resolve these comments. Jorge Concio, who I believe is one of the IGF, who he and I had a back and forth here, and maybe we can do that. In general, try to resolve the comments so that we're working on the document. And again, you know, the last point, which has nothing to do with Google Docs as a format, is that we do need to work toward editable text as opposed to comments. Comments should be discussion of the text, and work needs to be put into the text itself. So you should all have the link. It's been sent out any number of times, including with today's set of documents or the agenda. And so you should be able to find it. So I encourage all of you to wade in to the document, because this will be one of our key deliverables, and we really need to be able to deliver. It would be nice to have something we can send up to the plenary before too long, even if it is a preliminary document. So we have about 5 minutes to the hour, and that brings us to AOB. So I want to see if there is any AOB to bring up.
It's not an AOB. It's a point I made in the chat that may have got lost because I didn't particularly articulate it well. Greg, when you were talking about a primer for Google Docs, I didn't look at it because I use Google Docs and I'm comfortable with them. But I vaguely remember, I remember absolutely. I thought Bernie sent out a link to at least, might have been the full CCWG list, but certainly a list. So maybe he could get that tutorial link back up and redistribute it to our group here. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. That's very helpful. Don't want to reinvent the wheel. So I'll ask Bernie to resend that Google Docs 101 for Idiots Primer Dummies guide to the list. For those of us who need it. I think that is as good an AOB as any, even if it's part of the other business. So other than that, I would just ask that we try to focus our work on first, I'm preaching a bit to the choir since you all are on this call, we'll be sending around as soon as possible something to the list so that we can get the temperature of the entire group with regard to the two sets of questions and sending them out. And then we'll be preparing an introduction that will go along with the questions. And David has volunteered, and we hope for other volunteers, but if not, David can work on that and then send it around. And Mattia notes, not everyone has access to Google Doc due to employer IT security issues or other issues, so we'll make sure to offer an alternate path for those. As Mathieu says, comments by PDF and email should be okay. And we've also sent around Word versions of the document. One could worked on those as well, as long as you know, the changes were clearly marked, say, in track changes as well. I see Brenda has just posted the link to the Google Doc tutorial that was previously noted, and it's a YouTube video. So hopefully people who have access to Google Docs also have access to YouTube. So that I think is helpful. So let's just keep our eyes out, try to work on the documents, and try to answer the questions. Even if you've answered them on this list, on this call rather, please respond to whatever form of temperature taking mechanism we send out. So I think that with that, we can adjourn this call, and I look forward to our next call, which I believe is scheduled for the 13th, so it's one day before the plenary, the 13th at 1300 UTC. So thank you, and we can stop the recording.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.